Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We have been looking at why some Christians in the past thought that Hitler was the Antichrist. We're kind of wrapping this up, I believe, this evening, this series. And just a quick review, because of what's known as synchronicity or serendipity in New Age occult circles, what we would say basically are counterfeit concepts or terms for the providence of God, that those who don't know God, that experience from the other side, from the dark side, it seemed that Hitler experienced many of these things. In fact, so much to the point where people talked a lot about his luck and how lucky he was. And we looked at a lot of those instances over the past series of podcasts. And then we went on to look at the coming Antichrist and the many counterfeits of the true Messiah, Jesus, that he will be doing and has as we see in Scripture, the counterfeits that he does in trying to show himself to be the Messiah, the Messiah that's been rejected, of course, by Israel and many other Gentile folks as well. And then we also left off looking at some of the titles of the Antichrist, and I had those from Tim LaHaye's book, an older book, Revelation Illustrated and Made Plain. And so I want to start off today looking at some more contrasts to Jesus Christ of the Antichrist. And this is a more comprehensive list than the list that I shared of my own last week. But we want to look at these. These are from Clarence Larkin, a prophecy teacher of many years ago, in his book, Dispensational Truth. Now, Christ came from above, and I'm just going to quote the verses here. You can look these up on your own if you will, because I don't have time to go through all these or to open up the Word and share the verses themselves with you. So I'll give you the references. Christ came from above, John 6:38. Antichrist will ascend from the pit, Revelation 11:7. Christ came in his Father's name, John 5:43. Antichrist will come in his own name, John 5:43. Christ humbled himself, Philippians 2:8. Antichrist will exalt himself, 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Christ was despised, Isaiah 53:3, and also Luke 23:18. The Antichrist will be admired, Revelation 3 and 4. We looked at those verses last week. Christ will be exalted, Philippians 2:9. Antichrist will be cast down to hell, Isaiah 14:14 and 15, and Revelation 19:20. Christ came to do his Father's will, John 6:38. The Antichrist will come to do his own will, Daniel 11:36. Christ came to save, Luke 19:10. The Antichrist will come to destroy, Daniel 8:24. Christ is the good shepherd, John 10:1 through 15. Antichrist is the idol or evil shepherd, Zechariah 11:16 and 17. Christ is the true vine, John 15:1. Antichrist is the vine of the earth, Revelation 14:18. Christ is the truth, John 14:6. Antichrist is the lie, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. And then a few more. Christ is the Holy One, Mark 1 through 24. Antichrist is the lawless one, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. You know, he kind of reminds me of some of the rock stars today, you know, the bad boys that make them so attractive to some people because of their lawless attitudes and reckless ways. Anyway, Christ is the man of sorrows, Isaiah 53:3. Antichrist is the man of sin, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Christ is the Son of God, Luke 1:35. Antichrist is the son of perdition, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Christ is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh, that's 1 Timothy 3:16. Antichrist will be the mystery of iniquity, Satan manifest in the flesh, 2 Thessalonians 2:7. Quite an interesting contrast there, I believe. Clearly a contrast for sure. Now, the big counterfeit, the really big one, I would say, is the death and the resurrection of the beast. And this is from page 180 of LaHaye's book. He says, "And I saw one of the heads as though it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast." Verse 3 of Revelation 13 indicates that the beast, or Antichrist, will be given a deadly wound. It is quite possible that at the midway point of the tribulation period, the Great Tribulation, in the Great War referred to as the Second War of the Tribulation period, hold on just a second there. I wanted to end there. It is quite possible that at the midway point of the tribulation period, I'll go ahead and finish that. In the Great War referred to as the Second War of the Tribulation period, the Antichrist will be killed, okay? And of course, this is what appears to take place, of course. We don't know exactly how that's going to work out, but LaHaye's thoughts are, one must keep in mind that this beast is the Antichrist. In other words, he will try to duplicate everything Jesus Christ has done. This is significant in view of the fact that the sign of our Lord's deity appears in his resurrection. He said that no sign would be given unto men except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 12:39-40. Christianity is unique in that we worship a resurrected living Lord. The power of this testimony is beyond description to men who are real seekers after truth. This power will be all but nullified by the nefarious work of Satan through the resurrection of the Antichrist. As far as I know, he says, this will be the first time that Satan has ever been able to raise the dead. His power and control of man is limited by God, but according to God's wise providence, he will permit Satan on this one occasion to have the power to raise the dead. When studied in the light of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which of course talks about the coming of the Antichrist, it may well be the tool he will use to deceive men. It talks about the lying signs and wonders of the Antichrist. And Revelation 13:4 says, "And they worshiped the dragon who gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And again, we read, this would account for the Antichrist's resurrection. Thus, during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, the Antichrist will be merely a man endowed with satanic power. But during the last 3.5 years, he will actually be Satan himself, clothed with the Antichrist's body. And here you might think, you know, think of Hitler on steroids. Hitler avoided death on many occasions. Antichrist will convince that he actually cheated death by resurrection. And though I do believe Hitler was demon-possessed, he was not the Antichrist who is yet to come. Now further, LaHaye says, as already seen, Antichrist will die and be resurrected. Revelation 17:8 states that the beast that thou saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. This verse indicates that the Antichrist will die in the middle of the tribulation, since we have already seen that Satan will be cast out of heaven. Aware that his time is short, he will indwell the Antichrist and duplicate the resurrection. Thus he will come up out of perdition, and again contrast the supernatural work of Christ. From that point on, indwelt by Satan himself, he will have power to perform signs and lying wonders, 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-12, and could potentially deceive even the very elect, you know, if that were possible, the scripture says. He will have absolute authority by virtue of his supernatural powers and the submission of the kings of the earth to his control and dominance. It is then that he will unleash his attack on the nation of Israel. It will be the greatest anti-Semitic movement the world has ever known. He will seek to put to death all those who do not bear his mark or bow down and worship him as God. And of course, I've commented in the past what the scripture teaches, that a third of the Jews will be constitute the remnant who will be delivered, that God will deliver because he has promised the many promises that he's given to Israel. But many Jewish people will die, as well as many Gentiles during this time. Another commentator mentions the beast and this resurrection, and it says Satan allows the beast to be killed, or at least appear to be killed, but the head wound will be healed, and the world will be so astonished that many will follow him. That's a pretty big trick if you can pull it off. And of course, our Lord Jesus did just that. And this is why, this is one of the main thing that constitutes the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that he rose from the dead, conquered death for us, by the way. Now, I want to move now to the book, an older book. There's a New World Coming, which is a study of the book of Revelation by Hal Lindsey. It's an older book, but it's still relevant. And on page 171, he says that, speaking of the Antichrist, it says, he'll feel that he is doing a good thing by bringing repressive measures against believers whom he will consider non-progressive. Now, how many times do you hear the term progressive as though it's a good thing, right? Progressive is the term that's endeared to those who are of a liberal persuasion who want to be progressive. They don't want to live in the past. They don't want to live by anything that's from the past. They want to be progressive. They want to get ahead of all of this stuff. And so, interesting that way back when this book was read, that he made that comment that he will bring repressive measures against Christians, whom, of course, the Antichrist will consider, well, they're non-progressives. They're not onto the homosexual agenda, abortion, or the occult, or many of the other things. And speaking of the occult, he moves on on the same page, and he mentions one of the key factors that will set up the world for accepting the powers and supernatural aura of the Antichrist is the world's unprecedented acceptance of the occult and supernatural. Of course, that's been going on for some time, even when that book was written. But we see that during the Great Tribulation, in fact, in Revelation 9:21, the Bible tells us that the people living at that time, neither repented they of their murders, of their sorceries, of their fornications, or of their thefts. That's been described as the four big sins of the Great Tribulation. And sorceries, of course, is referring to, and the word I believe is pharmakia, and it has to do with the use of drugs in inducing altered states and involvement in the occult arts, etc. Now, I want to make some comments, of course, more about this unprecedented interest in the occult, the supernatural aura, etc., at this point. And, you look at the history, even, of psychic, what I want to call psychic warfare. We talked earlier about Hitler and the occult Reich, the SS, and Hitler's involvement, apparently, in the occult, pretty obviously. Did you know that England at the time, they were using psychics and astrologers in an attempt to try to figure out Hitler's movements and what Hitler was up to? And because they knew of his occultism, and so they were trying to get an edge. And this is what, of course, is always going to happen in warfare. We've seen it in our own times, and this can be easily documented, that Eastern European communist countries and Russia have been involved in what is known as remote viewing, or what you might call psychic spying. And this is a form of spiritism wherein people seek to use the occult, although they may not recognize that's what they're actually doing, to get an edge. And even our own country had our own groups in the CIA and in the U.S. Army. We had our own groups of what are known as remote viewers trying to get an edge, keep up with, or get ahead of our enemies by whatever means, all's fair in war, in love and war, they say. So this is just some examples of the occult in our time. And you know, I find it fascinating. Even Alexander the Great, way back, the conqueror, you know, of the Grecian Empire, he went to the great oracle, the oracle at Delphi. They would have a woman there who would be in an altered state of consciousness, who supposedly had psychic abilities. And he purportedly had gone to try to get an edge, to get information. So this is kind of an ongoing thing. And then, of course, we've also seen in our own time, murders. Sometimes murders have been solved through the use of psychics and psychic people with psychic abilities. People, sometimes they've struck out and they've been wrong. Other times there has been apparently some aid. And it shouldn't be surprising that, you know, these demons, these invisible fallen angels, they can see the things that take place in the world. And they can even try to make their own self-fulfilling prophecies, so to speak, and try to create things to happen and then take credit for it through their chosen false prophet or psychic. But they also can see things that being invisible, and when they can bring this information through these people who are demon-possessed, they're being used by these demons, trafficking with these demons, they can bring information. And so it shouldn't surprise us that sometimes psychics can help in solving crimes, which give them further credibilities, which gives the occult credibility. You know, the occult is not just satanic rites and black magic and that type of thing. There's many forms of the occult. And so it's a dark thing. But as we grow closer to that time of the return of the Lord, and that's who we should be looking for, Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. But inevitably, when the Antichrist comes, many will be in awe of the supernatural demonic power that he is going to manifest. Now, let me just add one further note. I've had the opportunity to attend many UFO conferences, and you might scoff or you might just sort of laugh that off. But the reality is, at a lot of these UFO conferences, though there's a lot of kooks there, there's also a lot of, there have been a lot of very interesting people, intelligent people, astronauts, you know. I've heard a lot of different people over many years in conferences that I attended. And always at these events, there would be the, you could go into the certain sections there of the, where the booths are, and you could, where the people are selling books and such. And you would find there's a certain hardcore element of people who believe in UFOs who also believe very strongly in spiritism, that form of the occult that has to do with contacting spirits and getting information. And you hear about things like contactees, or maybe more famously abductees, where people claim to have been abducted into UFOs, or people who have claimed to hear a voice in their head from some alien being who's giving them information, or prophecies of future comings, etc. And this stuff is, it's real, you know, in the sense that it's really demonic. Now, some people are frauds, and there's no truth to it at all. But I have no doubt, of course, that much of what takes place with hardcore UFO believers, and of course in New Age circles, is spiritistic contact bringing about this information. And so we've seen such a huge, massive interest in this stuff over the years. I've seen it. I've been a Christian since 1973, and I've seen so much of this occultic stuff taking place. And I'm so thankful that the Lord delivered me from, you know, the enemy's attacks, which helped drive me to Christ, actually, in my own life. So this is, you know, I find this to be very fascinating, and another reason why I think we're getting close to the return of Christ. Now, remember, once upon a time, way back in the start of this series, I gave some of the reasons why Christians might have thought that Hitler was the Antichrist. And I mentioned things like his involvement with the occult. He heard voices. He was probably demon-possessed. There was testimonies of guards that guarded his room that heard him speaking to beings. He had this fear of beings in the room. He, of course, wanted to have a kingdom, the Third Reich, which the Antichrist is going to have a short-term kingdom. His anti-Semitism, of course, which the Antichrist will have, the psychic powers, the serendipity and the synchronicity, the providential-like protection that he had from assassinations and such. People were mesmerized by his speech, just as the Antichrist will speak great things and sway the masses. He compared himself to Jesus Christ, Hitler did, and he had a certain precognitive and prophetic understanding, just as we know the Antichrist will. He even used visualization, as often many New Agers and people in the occult have used. And this is all, I'm going over this information that I had shared earlier several podcasts ago, but I wanted to, as we draw a close to the end of this series, I wanted to bring that back up, that it's understandable why many thought that Hitler was the Antichrist. And some people scoff at those who seek Bible prophecy and what God has told us and warned us about to come, so that we can warn others to flee the wrath to come, so that people can realize that God is in control, not the devil, but that God wants us to know that if we don't know him, we need to come into his protection. We need to make our peace with God. We need to have that relationship that he wants to have, that to gain the salvation that he offers so freely. Now, just for a little happy ending here, this is page 174 from LaHaye's book on Revelation. He says, "The ultimate destruction of the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2:8, declares, 'And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.'" You know, the enemy is going to lose. The devil, the Antichrist, the false prophet, they're all going to lose. But unfortunately, many others are going to lose too. Those who follow the Antichrist, who's coming one day, they're going to lose. They're going to be drawn to the false Messiah. Why not settle? I mean, why settle for the false Messiah when you can have the real thing, when you can have Jesus Christ? That would be my exhortation to those of you who may not know the Lord. Now, so at this point, I want to give a little review of my next series that I'll be doing. You know, okay, so we've talked a little bit in the past. I've talked about the Great Reset, which you hear so much in society these days. And then, of course, I mentioned the Great Eschatological Reset article from the Preterist group, the American Vision, which really led me to this whole series on why some Christians believed Hitler was the Antichrist. And so, you know, the people who say all this stuff is past and don't think, you know, don't look to the Bible and the 30% of the Bible that's written that tells you of what God's doing in the future, nah, just disregard that. That's all over and done. That's a lie, folks. Don't follow that line of thinking. Just because people got it wrong when they said they thought Hitler was the Antichrist doesn't mean that God has that everything is settled, because there's many things that are happening even as we speak and many more things to come. And we need to the assurance that God's still in control. And now, because of the inevitable move towards a one-world government and one-world religion and a one-world economy of the Antichrist, I will be looking in my next series to look at the factors in counterfeit Christianity that are seeking to affect politics and religion on a worldwide basis, both those from the left and the right. And of course, I'm speaking particularly more along the lines of those who claim to be Christian, you know, left-wing Christians and right-wing Christians, of which I am a right-wing Christian, but there are also right-wing Christians that are really off, and in fact, I don't think really are Christians. And I'll, of course, go into more detail in that when I get into the next series. But furthermore, you know, these who are from the left and from the right, hence the title for my new series is Heretics to the Left of Me and Heretics to the Right of Me. You know, there are fake Christian movements seeking to build Christ's kingdom on earth for him from the left and from the right. Of course, Jesus Christ doesn't need help from either side, as he will set up his millennial reign all by himself, folks, when he returns. Now, I wanted to mention that everyone seems to be talking about this broken world and the need to restore it to oneness. Disney has a movie coming out called Raya and the Last Dragon. And a local university commercial I saw recently talked about reimagining things and coming and changing the world with us. And I'm thinking, how about just getting an education and a job? I thought that's what the colleges are supposed to be doing. Our cable company wants us to reimagine things. And so you have this concept of reimagining and rechanging and rebuilding, and I'll go into a lot more detail, of course. Now, there is a liberal magazine that also has a reset. We've talked about these eschatological reset and the coming other reset that the secular people are talking about. The magazine Presbyterian Today, which is from the far left Presbyterian USA denomination, had a recent article, and it was entitled Advent's Offer of a Great Reset. And that's kind of going to be the starting point for that series when I do start it. So, you know, that's where we will begin our new series as we look first, and we will look first at the heretics to the left of me. So that'll be starting next week. Now, one more thought. I was thinking the other day about how mankind has this inherent desire to unify. Well, that's not all bad, of course, you know. No man is an island, the old expression. But mankind has this inherent desire to unify. And a best example, I think, from the Bible is the Tower of Babel or Babel in Genesis 11, which God was not pleased with at the attempts to unify mankind, because it was God's desire for people to stay, and he spread them out into nation states. Now, now you find non-religious people wanting, with so much interest in globalism and unifying together, but you also find religious people trying to help bring in the kingdom, quote unquote. And there again, from the left and from the right. And you'll see the more details of that as I get into the series. But I find that fascinating that even amongst those who call themselves Christian or religious, they have this inherent desire to unify, as though Christ needs our help to set up his kingdom when he comes. And so the Antichrist will actually have the help of many of these people setting up his kingdom. And as I say, Christ does not need the help of anyone to set up his. So that's all for tonight, folks. I hope you'll join me for the next series coming up. God bless you all. Keep looking up. Praise God. Jesus is coming. Don't know exactly when, but he's coming back. God bless you all. Good night.